Appreciate very much your presence here tonight, and I want to thank Brother Gary for mentioning in his prayer some of the thoughts that we'll be dealing with as we talk about forgiveness. I thought about a subtitle for this lesson and chose the thought of forgiveness, the path to spiritual growth. The subject of forgiveness, of course, is such a broad subject. There are many aspects, and tonight I will only deal with one aspect of that. I will not say a small aspect. It is very important from our point of view. When we think about forgiveness, there are kindred spirits in the Christian's life. There is the spirit of giving, and we are to be giving people. And we give especially of ourselves to others as we take the gospel to them. We give blessings to those that we are around if we are representatives of Jesus Christ. And there's the spirit of thanksgiving, that we constantly are very thankful to God for all of His blessings. And I do not believe a service passes that we do not thank God for His abundant blessings to us. And then there's the spirit of forgiving. When we think about those three and how those work together in our lives, it is so important, as was mentioned in our good prayer, that we develop that spirit of forgiveness. And we have in that so many, many passages, and you can probably think of other key passages that would have done equally well as the one I'm going to use. But I want to read for you, and you can either turn or watch the screen. That's sort of small. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." And then this key application: "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." And so the particular angle that I want to explore with you for the next few minutes is our forgiveness of others, even as God has forgiven us. That lesson is a very difficult one for us to learn. It is so hard for us when we have been wronged to realize the experience of forgiveness that we have had and then to share that with others. And so I want to look at that from two different points of view. Number one, we need to fully experience forgiveness. We need to think about what it means that God has forgiven us. If we compare the trespasses of others toward us with our trespasses against God, then we are in the very same situation that the characters in this story Jesus told were. a single sin against God, a single act of sin is terrible in the sight of God. It is no light thing to sin against the God of heaven. And all of the ways that we may sin by commission and omission are ways that we insult the God of heaven, who has provided so many good things for us in this world, and then has given us His Son to die for us. And you could go on and on as you think about the spirit of thanksgiving, realizing the things that have been done for us. And then for us, out of ingratitude or carelessness or because we allow our desires to dominate, we sin against the God of heaven. And so when we think about our forgiveness, and He has promised to do that, and we can confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do that. If we are willing to come in humble submission to Him, He will forgive us. And so experiencing forgiveness from God, realizing what it means to be forgiven, is a wonderful thing. We need to experience forgiveness from others. There probably has never been sweeter words said to me than for a person to say, "Carl, I forgive you." Maybe after an apology, maybe some careless thing I've said or done, and for an individual just to say, "I forgive you," that is a wonderful thing, and it is out of a great heart that individuals say that. Once when I was asking and apologizing for an individual, before I could finish my statement, that individual said, "You don't have to say any more. You're forgiven." Isn't that wonderful? To be forgiven of our trespasses against another is indeed one of the great privileges that we have when we deal with good people and forgiving people. And we need not only to experience forgiveness from others, but we need to experience forgiveness from ourselves. I have told you in a previous lesson about a prisoner who came after I had preached a sermon at the prison. And he said, "I want to talk to you." And he said, I've done a terrible thing. He didn't tell me what it was, and I didn't ask. But he said, "I believe that God has forgiven me. And," he said, "my family assures me that I have been forgiven. But," he said, "I'm having great difficulty in forgiving myself." Evidently, whatever he had done ate at him day and night. And he was having great difficulty forgiving himself. Well, I suggested earnest prayer, and I did not know what else to say except that you must do that and move on from that. And so the experience of forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Then we need to express forgiveness. Again, we need to express forgiveness toward others, and that is what this passage is about and where we're concentrating our thoughts tonight. And to do that toward others, then we don't have to carry that burden any longer. What a relief it is to forgive someone and to put the thing behind us and say it isn't even necessary to speak of that anymore. You are forgiven. That is a wonderful thing that we can experience as Christians, and we are being admonished to in this passage that we've read here tonight. And then we need to experience forgiveness within ourselves and to express to ourselves and to say, "Do you talk to yourself?" Of course you do. And to say, "I have been forgiven. I need to get over this. I need to move on because God has forgiven me. I need to put that behind me, move forward. There is work to do. There are people to help. And I need to put that behind me." And so we need to sometimes have a good talk with ourselves and express the forgiveness that we have received. Forgiveness has great power. I stand in awe of the power of forgiveness. I believe that even our physical health is affected by experiencing and expressing forgiveness. That it is not good for us physically when we are walking around with sin on our hearts and when we feel resentment toward others. That isn't a healthy situation. And the Bible ties those two things together over in 3 John verse 2. As John wrote to this individual and said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, just as your soul prospers." Would you dare pray that for someone? I hope your health is as good as your soul is, and that the prosperity of your soul is reflected in your physical health. Might make someone sick. It might make an individual worse off if our prayer were answered. But surely we see the connection between the two. And our physical health, particularly kinds of sicknesses that affect our nerves and our conscience and so on, those are affected greatly by forgiveness. Forgiveness has great power in our mental health, of course. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there is now an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the putting away, a removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that beats a good conscience, to be able to pillow your head at night and to realize that I've taken care of that matter. I have expressed forgiveness. I have received forgiveness. And to be able to do that. And our mental health is greatly affected by that. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is a reflection upon the character of God. If we ask Him to forgive us, and then we cannot quite accept the fact that we are forgiven. We need to believe it. We need to believe it with all of our hearts. That when we ask Him, He will forgive. Is that not what this passage says? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And so if I say, "Lord, in this that I have said or I have done, I ask you to forgive me," we may rest assured that He will do so. A part of our covenant relationship with God is the assurance of not only forgiveness of the sins of our past life, but the sins that we may be guilty of from day to day. And so to be able to be forgiven. It is a reflection on the character of God. It is a reflection on the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, that passage mentions that our consciences are cleansed from dead works to serve the living and the true God. And so we are able to serve God in acceptable service because we have been forgiven. Forgiveness has great power, of course, in our spiritual health. To experience and to express forgiveness is necessary for spiritual growth. You cannot grow. I cannot grow. As a Christian, and the other attributes by which we would like to put on the divine nature, if we do not have that forgiving spirit to express and to experience forgiveness is necessary. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life." We've been studying a good deal about God's new creation, and we need to believe it with all of our hearts. That we're a new being. We are a new creation when we arise from the watery grave of baptism and death with Jesus to be a new creation, to walk in newness of life. And that includes a forgiveness of all of our sins in the past and the opportunity as we sin to ask God to forgive us. So forgiveness has great, great power in our spiritual health. Guilt, conversely, takes a tremendous toll on us. It is a terrible thing for us to carry around guilt. There are many reactions that people have to guilt. And the guilt that we feel over sin, the guilt that we have not gotten rid of by genuine forgiveness in receiving that or in expressing that toward others, takes its toll on us. I believe that we may reach the point where we become a person without conscience. If you deny the sin that is in your life, that isn't healthy. That's a very great burden to carry. If tonight you have guilt in your mind about something you have said or done that you have not taken care of with the blood of Jesus Christ or the asking of forgiveness as a Christian, then that is a great burden to carry. That is not easy for you. It is not good for you. And so we need to get rid of guilt because our consciences can be hardened and can be hardened to the point as we are in denial of that until we can no longer be touched. And so our consciences need to be easily touched regarding sin. And the only thing that will do that is for us to be in a state of being forgiven, to be forgiven by God, to be forgiven by others. When you look at that, life may, for many people, and evidently does, become unbearable, and people even destroy themselves. That must have been behind what happened to Judas as he realized that he had betrayed his Lord and Master, the one who had taught him for those years that he had been with the other disciples, and the one who would have forgiven him had he asked for forgiveness. But he went out and he killed himself. And surely the burden of unresolved guilt, of not getting forgiveness from others and from the Lord, is an impossible burden for one to carry. And so we need to ask and receive God's forgiveness. That is such an elementary principle. And yet it is profound. Jesus said, you ask not and you receive not. You do not receive because you do not ask. And so we must ask God for forgiveness. We must ask others for forgiveness when we become aware of that. And many never ask and therefore never receive forgiveness. Forgiveness involves a confession. It involves a recognition of our sinfulness and to ask God or to ask the person offended for forgiveness is necessary. This passage that I read to you reveals to us a debt that could not be paid. Here was, and the estimates will vary, whether we're talking about a gold talent or a silver talent, but enormous sum, perhaps millions of dollars in our money, that this servant owed his master, and he could not pay. It was a debt that was impossible. It was beyond his capacity to pay if he had worked the rest of his lifetime. And so the master freely forgave him. Here was a debt that could not be paid. We need to think of sin in just that light as we study forgiveness. Sin is a debt that we cannot pay. It is that which we could not, we cannot do enough good to somehow balance out the evil that sin is. And so there is a debt that we cannot pay. That talent was a sum of money, gold or silver, and to have all of those thousands of talents owed, he had gotten himself in, as we say, over his head. He could not possibly pay. And our sins are like an unpayable debt, a debt that we cannot ever possibly pay ourselves. For all, we read, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is the weight of sin on us and the guilt of sin. And therefore, here is a debt that we cannot deal with. Even as we consider the death of Jesus, it shows the seriousness of sin and the unpayable debt. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Marvel of marvels, that God would make him to be sin for us, that he would lay on him the sin of us all. The prophet Isaiah spoke of that as he spoke of the suffering Lamb of God who would take on him the sins of the world. And so we have a debt that we cannot pay, and a death so serious that it required the death of a perfect sacrifice, Jesus himself, to make forgiveness possible. And so we sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And so the debt we cannot pay needs to be considered as we think about forgiveness. There is, in this passage too, the debt that we can forgive. Here is a great power that lies within you and me as Christians. We have the capacity, the power, to forgive, to say to someone, I forgive you. That is not to ignore, it is to recognize. And an individual who asks our forgiveness, we need to realize this is very important. This is a matter of spiritual life and death. And to have an unforgiving spirit and to be unwilling to forgive places us in great danger. The Lord taught, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive our trespasses. We don't want to place ourselves in that position. We do not want to be in the position where we are not to be forgiven because we have not forgiven others. And so I challenge you and challenge myself to ask, are there unresolved things that we need to fix? Are there things that need to be forgiven? And am I in the state of mind and readiness that I am ready to forgive? The debt that we can forgive. The consideration here is brother sinning against brother. Peter asked, how often shall I do that? Would I do that if he keeps sinning over and over? Of course, people do that. And often against the same individual and often under similar circumstances and about the same thing. Very often sins come in clusters. They are repetitious. And so a person may sin again and again against us. How do we do that? Well, this story was told so that they would know that they are to be open to forgiveness as long as an individual asks for that forgiveness. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, a burden is placed upon the person who has been wronged. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. And so we have a responsibility to help one another with their sins against us. And that is no light thing. That is not an easy thing. But we need in love and kindness to help one another to be in a state of readiness to meet the Lord. So there's a debt that we can forgive, and Peter's question and the Lord's answer reveals that that can be done. I want you to think now about the blessing that comes when we are forgiven. The blessing of forgiveness, whether, as in this passage, it deals with wrongs done against us, or we could make the application, wrongs that we have done against others. What a blessing it is to be forgiven. I would guess that in this room are many who can think of specific instances when they have asked a loved one, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, and have apologized and said, that was wrong of me to say that or to do that. Will you forgive me? And you have experienced forgiveness. Don't you love the story in Genesis chapter 50 of how Joseph dealt with his brothers after the death of their father? The brothers were frightened that now Joseph would take retribution. He would see to it that they were justly punished for what they had done for him many years earlier, as they had cared nothing for his life and would have let him die had it not been for the intervention of one and actually sold their brother as a slave, as one would sell a substance or an animal. And yet he is forgiving. And he says to them, am I in the place of God? And then he reflects on the past years, those decades that he has spent in Egypt, and then the most recent events of how he has been able to save his brothers and their family and his father and mother and so on. from starvation. He reflects upon that and says, it was not you, it was God who sent me here. And so he sees the mighty hand of God in his providential care. And so we have a God with whom we deal. We have a God who is able to turn even the circumstances of sin and guilt and forgiveness if we will comply with his will and in his spirit be forgiving into something good and wonderful. And so Joseph forgave his brothers. What a wonderful story. Husbands and wives so often need to be forgiving. They need to be able to say to one another, I'm sorry, forgive me. And the other person needs to accept that and hush talking about it. And that works both ways. And I do not believe there is a marriage that doesn't need that. And we need to, young people, go into it with that in mind, that we will make many mistakes and there will be days when we don't feel well and there will be times when we say things in a hasty way and we need to ask one another for forgiveness and to say, I'm sorry. And that doesn't need to be one way or one-sided. It needs to be on the part of both. I think about parents and children, and parents are to be forgiving toward their children, and children have a great responsibility not to harbor up resentment against their parents. Remember this passage over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. To think of our forgiveness toward others in against the backdrop of the Lord's forgiveness of us. How very tiny are those things that people may do against us in comparison with our sins against God. And we surely expect God, and I believe we believe that he will forgive us as we think on it. And we must not be unforgiving one to another. I want us to draw several conclusions from that. One is that broken homes could be healed in many cases by forgiveness. Sometimes there are those behaviors that one party or both parties will obstinately cling to, and there is no repentance and therefore no forgiveness. But often broken homes can be restored by forgiveness, by humbling ourselves and asking and seeking and being ready to forgive. When you think about husbands and wives, they need, as I just mentioned, to ask and to receive forgiveness from one another. Parents with broken hearts could be healed if children would ask for forgiveness. Often, just that one thing to say, I'm so sorry that I have been rebellious. I am so sorry I said these terrible things about you, etc., etc. Then parents would be ready to forgive. But it may work the other way. There may have been abusive, physically or emotionally. There may have been abusive things said or done toward the children. And parents may need to ask children for forgiveness. And children need to grow in that capacity to forgive and say, I know that you are human and you make mistakes and I forgive you and I love you and realize what you have done and doing for me. Children with broken hearts could be healed if parents would ask for forgiveness. And so there is much work to be done in our forgiveness toward others. Often brothers and sisters in Christ need forgiveness. And many congregational splits and congregational problems could be solved if there were that spirit of humility that would ask one another to forgive. And so forgiveness toward others. I want you to picture for a moment this attitude. Maybe there's a family member. Maybe there's a person in your life. And there is this broken relationship. And I'm suggesting to you tonight, on the basis of this teaching, that we need to say and we need to project in our attitude and in our words and actions. We need to say to that person, you may never accept it or believe it, but I am telling you that I love you and that I am ready to forgive and make any apology necessary to make this right with you. And whether you accept it or not, I am going to love you and I am going to pray for you. That is something that no one can refuse. They do not have the power to stop an individual from loving them. Love is an act of the will. And husbands who do not love their wives and say, well, I'm no longer in love with her, need to be told flat out. That's a sin. The Bible says to love your wife. Or a wife who says, I no longer am in love with my husband. Then you need to repent. You need to make it right, because wives are to be taught to love their husbands. And so the act of the will that says, I am determined to love you, not on the basis of or your reaction to me, but because I have made that commitment, I have entered that covenant, and I'm going to love you. And I'm going to be ready to be making things right with you within my power. I'm going to pray for you. And there is no one that can stop us from loving and praying for even our enemies or even those people from which we are estranged. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Take my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it with the courts above. And so we receive freely forgiveness from God. Let us be of such a mind that we reflect that in our lives toward others, regardless of their behavior, that we are standing ready to forgive, and that we express our love and we take their names before God in our prayers. If we will do that, then our lives will be so much happier. And it just may be that that other individual will be touched by our actions and will be led to accept forgiveness and then to express forgiveness toward others. Tonight, if you aren't a Christian, there is a God in heaven that is ready to forgive you. He has done everything that is necessary for you to be forgiven of whatever your sin is, whatever your record, however black it may be. Then you can be forgiven if you are willing to accept the cleansing blood of Jesus and obey the gospel in God's simple terms. He wants you. He wants you to be like Him. And He wants to remake you into His nature if you are willing to accept His forgiveness.